Each and every year, the first Sunday of Lent brings us back to the wilderness, a place of testing, a place of temptation. Yes, many of us might find it difficult to believe that Jesus was actually tempted. But we fail to realize is that Jesus was as human as he was divine. Being human means being weak, sometimes selfish. If we stop and think about it, always wanting to be in control. What were the temptations anyway? What do they consist of? Well, we hear the first was to turn stones into bread. Besides the obvious meaning, the word bread can mean all material things in general. Here Jesus was tempted to use his powers to get people what they want. In other words, it would have been easy to convince him if Jesus bought them off. But in the end, as we all know, material things and objects cannot buy happiness. Only God can truly nourish our hearts and our souls. The second temptation was to set up some sort of political kingdom. In other words, to resort to power rather than love. Yes, power is an easy substitute, an easy replacement for love. If we stop and think about it, all of human life is a struggle of competing power relationships. Home, the family, work, and of course, politics. After all, it's easier to control people rather than to love them. But Jesus did not come to rule. He came to serve. He chose not to cling to his divine power, but to empty himself to become a slave, to become a servant to all. I think that all of us at times are tempted to replace love with power, to try to control others, to be manipulative. In other words, to try to make someone love us by either threats, emotional control, or money. The third temptation was a temptation to do something spectacular, throwing himself off the temple in order to elicit praise. Much like a magician makes people believe by doing something showy. And something like that would have made Jesus the talk of the town. But doing something to simply create a sensation reflects one's own glory rather than the glory of God. So Jesus refused to jump. No, he didn't want screaming fans. He refused to be idolized. Jesus wanted followers. In other words, people who would imitate his way of life. Throughout his public ministry, Jesus refused to get people signs and miracles, even when asked to do so. But these things are not helpful. They do not demand the best of us. In fact, they cheapen our faith. For faith is not magic, and holiness is not about controlling God. In other words, getting God to give us what we want. Rather, holiness is trying to make sense of our lives. It's searching to find where God is leading us. And put quite simply, it's looking at the glass half full rather than half empty. It's finding hope in the sometimes painful process we call human life. What did temptation mean for Jesus? Well, it meant the very same thing that it does for us. In other words, choosing between good and evil, between God's will and our will. And these temptations were not a once-off event. Like us, Jesus was tempted throughout his entire life. His victory in the wilderness, in the desert, was not the winning of a war, but merely a winning of a battle. Like all of us, Jesus was tempted, so we can't hope to ever escape it. The struggle is between the passions of the flesh and the longings of our spirit. In other words, the things of this world and the things of God. And this struggle that all of us endure is nothing to be ashamed of, for temptation in itself is not a bad thing. But choosing good over evil makes us strong. And suffering and struggle make us even stronger. Virtue would be meaningless if there is no evil. And each right choice we make makes the next one easier. Despite what we might think, it wasn't easy for Jesus. He was human just like us. And Jesus was tempted even while dying on the cross. If you were truly the Messiah, come down from the cross, save us, and save yourself. How did he do it? Well, Jesus used the exact same tools that are available to us. Prayer. Fasting, and of course, reflection on the Word of God. Like Jesus, we too have the Spirit with us in all of our struggles. Throughout these struggles, these trials and tribulations, we have the consolation of knowing that God does not ask of us what God has not done before. As we begin our Lenten journey, let's reflect on the gift of a God made human, a God who is like us in all things but sin, a God who has been there, and a God who has done that.